Well, it's good to be impacted by God's Word today, read and heard, and ministry and song, and you being here to praise God and be a blessing to other folks. Hope you feel stirred up to love and good works because you've come, and our lives can be changed by Jesus in every part of the service. Well, legend has it during World War II that when the Axis powers came into a particular town in Poland, they took over that country rather quickly, and so they would go through small towns, and people were surrendered. They were defeated, except for one small town that had a grandmother in it that was not about to go down without putting up a fight. And as the Axis army came through with tanks and heavy artillery and very well-trained armed soldiers, she put the flag of Poland on her front porch and flew it and came and stood on the front steps with a shotgun ready to take on the enemy. Of course, she was outnumbered, and the enemy had mercy that day, so they let her alone. But afterwards, the neighbors asked her, "Grandma, weren't you afraid? You know, why did you do what you did?" She said, "No, I was not afraid. Perfect love for my country cast out fear." And she said, "Besides that, I just wanted to let everybody know where I stood." And God bless that kind of courage and faith that sometimes you and I are called to in following Christ, with many going the other direction, and even the nature we have in our hearts without Christ wanting to be an enemy of God. God would give us courage and faith and be like the grandma. She stood for the truth. She stood with love. And that's what you and I are called to do. The Bible tells us when the world begins to come to an end, the world as we know it, right before Jesus comes back, people will not stand for the truth and they will not stand with love. Those two things won't be valued, truth and love. Now, they'll be thrown under the bus by people outside the church, and sadly sometimes by those who would claim to know and follow Christ. We were going over parenting as a part of Bible school also in one of the classes, and we talked about how family systems and relationships all need love, which says you can count on me, I'll be there, but also need the truth of a disciplined situation so that they feel safe, they know where the boundaries are. And the best relationships to grow in a family and also among people are those with a high level of love and a high level of discipline. And you might think about your own life. That's the way the Lord treats you. He treats you with a high level of love. You can count on Him. He would love you so much, He would send Christ to be your Savior, giving His life for us at the cross. What a gift in rising from the dead that we might have a Savior. And He would give us 100% discipline. There's not one thing that you and I ever do or think or say that God doesn't say, "Hey, does that represent what I mean to you? Is that a part of my leading in your life, or is that your sin?" So God has 100% love and 100% discipline for us. And we are blessed when we allow our hearts to stand with those principles of God's love, God's truth equally, and not compromise on either one. That is a blessing. Jesus said when the end would come, there would be wickedness, there would be false prophets. He said that many would turn from the faith, that His truth wouldn't be important to Him anymore. He went on to say many would hate one another. Hatred is something that will eat you up on the inside. You think it's going to eat the other person up, but it eats you up. They hate each other. And it also says the love of most will grow cold. Will grow cold. And so that's a quality of apostasy or turning away from God that you and I don't want to have. We want to repent from cold love toward God and toward people. Jesus told the last church in the book of Revelation, "This I have against you, you've forsaken love." forsaken first love. They were doing many things well, but love wasn't on their value system or value screen. But it is for Christ. And one theologian said this in terms of truth and love. He said, those who really know, really love. And just let Jesus, who is the truth, and God, who is love, change our hearts. He says, those who really know, really love. What great qualities that the Lord would share with us. And God is very careful in the Bible to warn us and help us with that tendency toward cold love, which we're all susceptible to. If you look at all the letters written in the New Testament, virtually everyone deals with a bad teaching or false teaching or heresy. So there's warning there. Here's the boundaries. Don't put your heart trust in this. Trust in Christ. So it's against heresy, but also in every one of those letters that deal with false teaching deals with the primacy of God's people being committed to love. Peter said, who was very outspoken, when he talked about the end of all things, he said, the end of all things is near. Above all, love one another. So Peter sensed, he was a great standard for the truth. He sensed the need for people to be committed to the love of Christ as much as they were committed to the truth of God. 1 John deals with that effectively, for example. In 1 John, the apostle wrote a letter against the heresy of Gnosticism. That word that just simply means to know in a higher way. So Gnosticism said this, how you treated people really did not matter. What really mattered is that you had a great spiritual knowledge. That's what Gnosticism said. And so John, he teams up with the Holy Spirit and basically says, baloney. What you know is very, very important. But loving is equally important. And so throughout the letter of 1 John, written against false teaching, love is mentioned in every paragraph. So we don't think that this life is not important, just maybe what we, just our belief system that never gets kicked into practice. And so John says things like, well, if you say you love God but don't love people, you're not telling the truth. You're not standing for knowledge at that point. And the way you love God is by obeying His commandments. And His command is to love each other. So that's the heresy that's a danger. Jesus said toward the end of the age, one of the great heresies that would hit people would be to be loveless. That wouldn't be on their top priority. I was asking, had a conversation with a pretty strong and faithful Christian the other day, and we were thinking about the idea of rightness and truth and love. And I asked him a question because I thought the Lord would work it in our lives to grow. I said, what would you rather be in your life at this point as a Christian? Would you rather be more right or more loving? He smiled and said, I'd rather be more right. And he chuckled because he knew being right would require him to yield to God, get more information for sure. But that really, it might not be much sweat. But being more loving would require a change of his heart, his actions, and the direction of his soul. So the criticalness of saying, Lord, deliver us from the apostasy of having love grow cold. If I stood up this morning and I said to you, you know, I've been thinking a lot and in terms of working out things in my home or how I live my life, I've decided that it's not really important for me to say that Jesus rose physically from the dead. I don't think that's that important. So I don't think it's necessary to believe that. Also, I don't think it's necessary to say that Jesus' life and death, his death on the cross and shedding his blood for the forgiveness of sins, I don't think that's critical either. And we really don't need that. Not so important. And besides that, he might not have been the Son of God. Maybe he was just a great teacher. Let's call him the Messiah. Follow him. And everybody would be, you know, happy about that. What would your response be? Your response would be, that is going to hurt you so much, if you do that. That's going to affect the way you look at God, people. It will affect your eternal destiny, for sure. But what if I said to you, well, I changed my mind. I do believe all those things. He rose from the dead. His blood is shed for the forgiveness of sins. But I'm just not that committed to loving others. Is that okay? That's not a high priority for me. It's not, you know, I don't wake up in the morning and say, how can I go and love God and love others today? It just doesn't come across my mind. So I'll do that when I get around to it, and it's just not that critical. Other things are more important to me. Besides that, I believe the right things. Is that okay with you all? You would say, wait, that's totally unacceptable. Just like a denial of the truth is totally unacceptable, a denial of love of God, known and expressed in the life of His people, that is unacceptable behavior. It can't be. And so Jesus tells us, beware, beware. Peter says, the end is near. Above all, love one another. And God can help us with that. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, for example, Paul spoke to the Corinthians who really valued knowledge. It was a Greek culture. Corinth was a big Greek city. And he said, look, if you speak in the tongues of men and of angels, and if you have a lot of knowledge, even if you have the gift of prophecy, and you know everything about everything that's going to happen in the future, you know what? That doesn't count for anything if you don't love. So the Lord puts love as primary. Only love can temper knowledge and make it a beautiful thing. So how can we love with God's love and not follow, which I think is a dangerous apostasy and heresy of the loveless Christian? A couple things we could do. And the first requires constant humility and turning to the Lord. The first would be this. Confess that your sin nature and our sin nature is indifferent and hostile to God and to others. You think about the impact of that reality, that our sin nature is indifferent to God at best and hostile to God and others at our worst. Billy Graham, I got to hear part of his testimony this past week, and he said before he received Christ, he kind of tolerated things about God. He thought they were helpful. You know, he had a little respect for the Bible, but it really didn't. He didn't look at it as the truth or a source of great life-changing love for him. And so that's the way he was. But then he received Christ. And after that, he said all of a sudden he had a new love in his life. And that was the Lord. And that was His Word. And that was prayer. And all of a sudden he started caring about people, you know. That was something that only God can do for him. And would you pray that way for your own heart? Only God can deliver us from our own sinful nature. Otherwise, we would be hostile and indifferent to God and to people. When we were in South Carolina, one hot day, I think it was about 90 degree humidity, we were driving in our air-conditioned car, and we saw somebody driving a bicycle. Well, attempting to drive a bicycle on the side of the road. They were very heavily dressed, and the bicycle wasn't working. It was broken. So we saw them, and we turned to one another. Should we help? You know, being the take-action Christians right away where we are. Well, we debated whether we should help, and so we went to try to help the person the best we could. And I was thinking about, you know, love really compelled us to do that. It was the love of Christ, I think. I thought about how would I react if I didn't know the Lord? And I can remember those days. How would I react if I didn't know the Lord? I'd have looked at the person and said, so what? If they're so dumb to ride a bike in 90-degree heat, I don't care if they sweat, you know, and have heat stroke. I'd yell out the window, you dummy, having a nice ride? You know, That's in our nature, is it not? I told the 8:30, I feel almost too natural when I say that. That's in our nature. Our nature is hostile and indifferent to God and to people. And we need to cry out to God for deliverance from ourselves and say, Lord, I confess I want your new nature that the Holy Spirit can give me to help me follow Christ. Much better to be compelled by love than compelled by self. That's a terrible taskmaster, for sure. So to love more, to confess to the Lord, I recognize my love is cold and without power without your intervention. Secondly, pray for Christ to give you his love, because his love is much different than yours and mine. Your love is weak. Christ's love is strong. The strong love of Christ, the sacrifice at the cross. Your love is soft. Christ's love is tough. Your love and my love might not want to confront sin in our own lives or sin in people we love around us. Christ's love always confronts that sin. Our love is soft. His love is tough. Our love is partial. His love is impartial. Isn't it great that God loves everybody the same? No respecter of persons. That's one of the great secrets, hopefully, of the body of Christ and church. Everybody is invited by Christ. And everybody can know God in a way that is life-changing. Our love is partial. His love is impartial. Our love counts sins. We do that for ourselves, and we kind of condemn ourselves but don't repent. Our love will count sins. God's love confronts and covers sins and brings the forgiveness we need. So much different than our love. So we pray, Lord, fill us with your love, because we don't have that kind of love ourselves. There's an old discipler named Ken Abraham who helped people in the 1970s. He used to pray a prayer a lot. Jesus, be yourself in me today. Because he felt like, well, you know, without Jesus leading the way, he wasn't going to be a loving Christian at all. Jesus, be yourself in me today. When you talk to Muslims who are overseas or even in America and they come to faith in Christ, you ask them, how in the world did you come to faith in Christ? They usually say, because I had this friend who showed great concern for me. I mean, they were just a loving person. And they just, you know, they were one of my best friends. And then they started telling me about this Savior that I needed. And most Muslims will say they'd have never come to Christ unless somebody showed them the love of Christ first and then passed on the truth that would set them free. And that's the way we want to be, to care so that people might know, or might care what you know after you show some caring. You think about all the people whose Jesus changed with his love in the Bible. Everyone. Nicodemus, who supposedly knew a lot. Jesus had to say, you need a rebirth that only God can bring, to be born from above. God loves people like that. Jesus approached a woman at the well. She had five husbands. Jesus comes to change her life and says, I can give you something that would cause your soul not to thirst. Matthew, as a tax collector, that's all he thought about was, how can I get more? You know, we could all, many times we identify with Matthew, it fit in with the culture. How can I get more? Jesus looked at him and said, follow me. He was confronted with the love and truth of Christ. He turned to him. And so to say, Lord, fill us with your love. And then, If we're sincere, to surrender our life 100% to the Lord in whatever aspect we know we're holding back. And it's humbling to think that when God would bring conviction in our lives, he would talk to us about what matters most. You know, he would talk to us about how we're doing with him and how we're doing with other people. And he'd keep talking to us about that, until we surrender and say, okay, I'll follow Jesus in that area. The Holy Spirit is a great helper and counselor at that point. You know, he is in the fruit growing business. It's a fruit growing time in different parts of our world. The Holy Spirit's in the fruit growing business. And that fruit is the character of Christ that he'd put into you. His love, his joy, his patience. And you could ask yourself, if God would talk with you this morning, ask, and the Lord would say, how is that fruit coming in your heart that I am committed to growing? How's it coming? How's that love and joy? And how's the peace? Is it abiding or is it fleeting based on circumstances? How's the fruit growing business going in your life? And you say, oh, I'm not too good. Maybe you got choked up, you know, singing some of the songs. Floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll. And I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. I don't think it's a trite, superficial thing, but God can give us that as a gift, I believe. But if God should say to you, is there any evidence in your life that the Holy Spirit has grown some good fruit? Could you honestly say yes? Would your family members say yes? How about your Christian family, friends at work? Well, Christ would come and say, beware, the love of most will grow cold, but if you endure, persevere, you'll experience his salvation. Jesus can give us a new disposition that's not ours, a fruit of his character like his. And my great conviction in my heart, when I stand before God at the end of my life, the Lord's going to talk to me a lot about how I loved him and loved people. He may not talk to me a real lot about the particulars of my belief, because I've been very careful to be precise in upholding the Bible. But following through, I need his help so much more. And so would you, with me, have confidence in a loving God to say God can give us the love of Christ and help that love to grow and be uncompromising about that in our personal lives, as much as we would about the truth of God, be uncompromising about the love of God. And he will bring it forth and make it to reflect his Son. What a gracious God he is. Could you pray with me that God would work in that area? We're just as you think of the song we're about to sing, just quietly hear these words. We'll sing the song together. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with your love and power. Let your blessing fall on me. We want that to be the prayer of our hearts, Lord. Fill us with your love and power. Let your blessing fall on us. Lord, I know you're waiting to make us your loving followers, who would gladly stand for the truth, would gladly stand for the expression of love in our lives, the great love of Christ and love for people. Might you bring your conviction and bring the changes, Jesus, that we need. We need it to repent in our own hearts, and we need your help for that change. I thank you for what you accomplish and the evidences of your committed care growing in your people. Lord, I thank you. We can yield to you afresh this day and ask that we would rest in you and follow in your way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we pray together, not pray, but sing, might this be a prayer song from your heart to God. Your life and your week will be helped by surrendering to Christ. Whatever problem you have, it is not solved in any other manner other than through the person and love of Christ. So would you yield to him and know his care for you?